Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
At Firestone Complete Auto Care, we hold our service to the highest standard. That's why we have thousands of ASE-certified technicians nationally. So don't wait any longer. Give us a call and book your next appointment today.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
On News Talk.
On Taoiseach Micheál Martin has ruled out a ban on new data centres, but says tech companies will be required to show proof that they can generate their own energy before applying for permission to build them. A new report commissioned by Cloud Infrastructure Ireland has claimed that data centres can play an essential role in helping Ireland meet its climate targets by speeding up the transition to renewable energy. Here to discuss this issue, I'm delighted to be joined by Breed Smith, People Before Profit TD for Dublin South Central. Also joining me is the former ISMI chairman, a member of ISMI's National Council, Ross McCarthy. You're both very welcome to the programme. Breed, can we start with you if we could? I know I've heard you before speaking quite vocally that we can't really sustain any more data centres. Are you concerned about the current situation?
Yeah, I just before after the summer recess, actually the day after, I got a PQ reply that I'd been looking for months, which was basically how many new data centres have currently got agreements and permission and are due to be connected to the national grid. And I understand what you've said there in your previous statement. Micheál Martin says they can't get permission to build unless they can prove that they can be self-sufficient. But the point is that that's a sort of a moratorium, but there are, in fact, 8 very large data centres who fall outside that moratorium and are due to be connected to the national grid within the next 3 years. And the amount of power that they will require will be a total of 1.5 gigawatts. Now, we're already in trouble for our gas supplies. Much of our electricity is generated by gas still, unfortunately. We need to move to renewables ASAP. But within that context, we have an industry like an empire striking back and pushing back and saying, oh no, we're not part of the problem, we're part of the solution. But there you're looking at 1.5 gigawatts of power off the national grid going to 8 new data centres. We currently have 70. And there are 30 under the moratorium, okay. But 8 are definitely to be connected. And we're saying you cannot do this. You cannot connect them because we're already down to the nth degree and risking possible blackouts. And people, as we know, are paying through the nose for the power that they receive into their homes. And it's just totally unsustainable.
Let me bring in former ISMI chairman and member of ISMI's National Council, Ross McCarthy. Good morning, Ross.
Morning, Bobby.
This is national infrastructure. We look at the IDA, we look at the amount of business, the corporate tax generated, you know, that really that we can do so much with is all, a lot of it is hinged on us being able to provide this infrastructure to tech investment coming into the country. So what's your view on it?
Absolutely. You've covered a lot of it there, Bobby. I mean, one of the things to keep in mind is the Global Innovation Index is an annual report that's produced by Cornell University, and it has about 85 separate metrics on it. Ireland is the number one ranked country in the world for ICT services exports as a percentage of total trade, the number one. Now, every country around the world is competing to get ICT, and for a variety of reasons, including the temperate nature of our climate, the backbone of the kind of industries, the economic growth that you've just been talking about there, is run through these data centers. So a large part of the question has to be, what parts of the growth that are going to come this year, next year, the year after that, do you not want? Because when people talk about data centers, there's very often this view that we see the fixed infrastructure, the building, the acres behind wire fences. But inside each of those buildings are tens of thousands of businesses. And there are transactions running through those data centers that people don't necessarily picture. So during the COVID period, for instance, when we had a huge amount of people adapting to new ways of doing business, we had all of these conversions of things like horse carts to start selling coffee, an industry close to your heart, Bobby. You know, those financial transactions were going out through data centers. They were taking e-payments. Yeah. So what part of the growth of the economy are we saying that we don't want? Because consumer behavior isn't going to change. The way we interact with the government services isn't going to change. So a large part of the question, you yourself said that this is vital national infrastructure. I agree entirely with that. It is. It's essential infrastructure. It's like the water and the pipes and the sewage in the ground now. We can't run a modern society without it.
Okay.
So in that context, just to quickly finish up, this is as much a question about energy and how we're planning the grid as it is about whether or not we're actually going to cripple ourselves and I suppose future growth opportunities for SMEs and large companies in the country.
Okay. Breed, rather than saying no to data centres, could we not look at it another way and say, you know, how do we actually fill the demand that's required? As in, like, could we not up our game in terms of more infrastructure to accommodate the anticipated demand and take the benefits of all the inward investment that we so desperately need?
Well, the first thing I want to say to that is that Breed Smith isn't here arguing that we shouldn't have data centres or we should close down all the ones we have. We have 70 already in the country. There's 8 more massive ones given permission to connect to the national grid, and there's 30 more planned which are under moratorium depending on where they allocate. Now, Ireland is already overusing its capacity of electricity on data centres. The global national average is about 8 to 9% of the national grid. We're now up to 15% of the national grid. And if these connect, we'll probably hurtle towards 30. Definitely, if the other 20 get permission, we're going beyond 30% of the national grid. And I know what the comment there from Ross McCarthy was about the infrastructure of the national grid. Actually, the Irish Academy of Engineers reckon that the Irish state, i.e. the taxpayer, will be spending $9 billion over the next few years to expand the national grid, to which the data centres will connect and consume 30% of the power. And the question is not that I'm trying to stifle, or anyone here is trying to stifle, the growth of small businesses, coffee shops, vans that drive around the place offering food and refreshments. The question is, why are we expanding them to this degree? And actually, the use of data centres is something that we've never had a national discourse about. We don't know enough about them. They're surrounded often in secrecy and commercial sensitivity. But it is reckoned by those who study them that about 51% of their actual usage is what they call dark data and surveillance data. And basically, it is used to expand the markets and the production of goods to sell people beyond what already exists.
Okay.
And if you take Amazon as an example, they use this to great effect. They try to sell you all sorts of products, from kettles to socks to radios, and then they end up with a surplus of those products that they can't sell at the market rate that'll make them a profit, and they burn them.
Okay, well, that's a different topic, Breed.
Well, it's not a different topic. I'm saying we cannot continue to grow.
Just a second. You wanted to come back in there, Ross.
Yeah, no, I just think just to pick out something from that I think is implied in what Deputy Smith was saying, that we, ISME, would very much agree with, is that there is room for social media companies in particular, and large, I suppose, very large data users like the likes of Amazon, to look at data usage management, and that could have a significant impact in terms of the grid consumption. So that means, for instance, that there should be a moratorium on very low value content, and that it's not kept forever. right? So I think there are some things that could be done around that, and it would be reasonable. There are some companies like Apple and Google, for instance, that when you go over certain limits, they start charging you for data, and it has that moderating effect. So there's certainly things that can be done around how the capacity and the load on the grid has been used that can be done. But we can't get away from the fact that we are choosing in Ireland to not have LNG terminals here. The interconnectors with France, for instance, and access to green energy, green nuclear energy from France, that's not coming on stream until 2025. So a large part of this story is how Airgrid are being hamstrung in trying to manage the grid. They've done an excellent job over the years. They have a fantastic safety record. But there are policy decisions being made in Ireland that are compromising our ability to safely and securely manage energy supply in the country.
Okay. Breed, what about Micheál Martin ruling out a ban on the data centres, but saying that tech companies will be required to show proof that they can generate their own energy before applying for permission to build them? What does he mean by that?
There is a de facto moratorium on data centres proceeding with building for the last 2 years on the basis of what Micheál Martin says. My argument here is that there are 8 new huge data centres ready to be and have agreements and have contracts to connect to the national grid over the next 3 years. And they will consume, and just to put this in context, 1.5 gigawatts of power. We have just passed legislation hurriedly and unsatisfactorily, like many pieces of legislation before the recess, which will allow the state to buy in 450 megawatts in order to get back up for the winter of 2023-24, because they said we could be in danger of blackouts. That's less than one third of what these 8 centres would take off the national grid. It is unsustainable, and I'm making this argument in the context of the extreme events that we've seen in the last week, global warming, the EPA report that came out yesterday, and data centres are high emitters, they're high energy guzzlers, they're high water guzzlers, and we already have an over-proliferation of them in the Irish state, and we need to call a halt to it. And I don't believe the connection should be given to these 8. Even if it requires a legal battle, the government should declare emergency on the question of our power usage, and we should call a halt to it now.
Okay.
Because we're out of line, out of kilter with the rest of Europe in this regard.
All right, a couple of texts just coming in. Do we not charge for the electricity we make money on that it, or should be? Is someone saying we give it away? So what this texter is basically saying is that we get paid for it and we make money on it. Another texter agrees with you, Breed, saying that data centres aren't like a national utility. They store data for Europe and beyond. Will we get any payback from that? I think not. We bear the cost and energy depletion for others to benefit. What do you say to that, Ross McCarthy?
It's a fixed term. It's a very fixed mentality. I think one of the things that people should look at is the gap between modified gross national income. That's to say what the economic output in Ireland when you control for the impact of having lots of multinationals here. And many of those multinationals, the vast majority of them, are the ones that are behind these data centres. And we're on course for hitting a GDP of €500 billion. The GNI is around about €220 billion. So when it's not a case of either or. Like, Ireland needs to find a way, and the next 2 to 3 years, there's no question there's going to be energy pinches. But a lot of that is down to domestic choices that are being made over things like LNG terminals, using the existing capacity, and a failure to innovate. And okay. Until those interconnectors come on stream, the north-south one and the one with France, we're going to have an issue. And there's no doubt that Deputy Smith is right about the coming winter being a difficult one with difficult choices.
Okay.
So there needs to be we need to be matched by and a lot of the existing suppliers in line with existing planning policy. Renewables absolutely has to be a core part of this to reduce demand, but also how the data storage that is currently drawing down on the grid is being used. Not enough has been done there, and there's probably a significant amount can be done.
We'll have to leave it there. Ross McCarthy, former ISMI chairman and member of ISMI's National Council, and Breed Smith, People Before Profit TD for South Dublin. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
At Firestone Complete Auto Care, we hold our service to the highest standard. That's why we have thousands of ASE certified expert technicians nationally, So if you're looking for car service that's got your back on the road, choose the place that treats every car like their own and every customer like family. Don't wait any longer. Call your local Firestone Complete Auto Care and book your next appointment today.